This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the movie podcast review of Avatar, The Last Airbender. My name is Daniel. I'm one of your hosts today. And joining alongside me, man, what kind of benders are you guys going to be? What do you guys want to bend today?
I'm a fast bender.
Steel. Steel bender.
You're a steel bender. Man of steel bender? No, I feel like Anthony definitely 100% is a fire bender.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
No, man. I'm an airbender.
What are you?
I like flying.
You're airbender, eh? You're all about peace and tranquility and your focus?
No. I'm pure like destruction, fire,
yeah.
Rain, hell on earth. Yes.
100%. Shay, how about for you? I feel like you're probably like, what do I want to say?
I don't know if you're going to go where we're going, but I was going to say like waterbender. Like, I don't know, just like a nice little breeze, you know, comes by and I'm like, hey, splash some water on you. Or, whoa, it's summertime. We want to go into a pool. We don't have one. Mm-hmm. Okay, quickly, Daniel, you're an earthbender. Dig a hole in the ground. Throw some water in there. We got a pool.
Daniel's earth?
We got a pool. I'm an earthbender.
I gave earth. He's wearing green right now. He's doing this like earth vibe, you know,
brown hair,
green shirt.
That's it. You have a green hat on. What are the rules?
What is your point?
You have a green pillow behind you.
It's true. A green pillow. I live on planet Earth. Yeah. I must be that.
You're trying to save super Earth. You know, it's all part of it.
It's all part of it. You know, the Avatar series has been a long time coming. I want to say thank you to our friends at Netflix for providing us with the episodes to watch, to review. And then later on in this episode, after we're finished talking all about it, we're actually going to be joined by the showrunner, Albert Kim, who, you know, is a writer on the show. He's a producer on the show. And of course, he is the showrunner talking all about it. So if you want to continue the conversation of Avatar, dive deeper into the decisions behind the show. A very candid conversation we had, though, with him, Shay, you know, like someone who I think is so aware of, you know, the passion of the fans behind the show, someone who's aware of, you know what, we're going to make changes. It's going to upset some people. It's going to make some people not happy with what we're doing, but also just like, this isn't, you know, taking over what the original show was. This is doing something different.
I think when we're speaking to Albert, you know, just maybe a week after the social embargo has lifted for the show, and the internet is no stranger to being a noise of just negative energy sometimes, right? I mean, like, that's kind of what's always thrown out there. So I think sometimes a lot of that breaks through. There is a lot of positive feedback that I've been seeing about this show, and a lot of people are saying like, yes, this is what we wanted, and it's like, that's awesome to hear. I think a lot of people are not looking at this, and we're going to get into this in our review, obviously, is this is an adaptation. Why would you want the exact same thing that you got animated, but in live action? You want someone to kind of give it their own spin, give it their own, you know, love to it. And Albert, big fan of the series, you know, his kids love the show. He loves the show. So kind of going from that point, it's like, this is not just some Hollywood producer that got up there and said, let's do an Avatar show and you're good to go. This is Albert. He clearly likes this a lot. Albert Kim wanted to make this show. He put his own love into it. And that's what a lot of people on the internet do as well. When they're fan casting and they're theorizing what they want to do with the show. That's their adaptation of it. This is his. So we're going to get into it more, I'm sure. But it was a really good conversation. I like that you said candid, because that's exactly how I would describe it.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Whether you were critical of the show or you're loving the show, we really encourage you to watch that interview, because you at least get some perspective towards the end of it right from the person responsible right at the end. So yeah, Albert Kim joining us later on in this episode. Avatar: The Last Airbender is releasing on Netflix today. So if you are watching this review, it is out now in its entirety. All 8 episodes you're able to watch on Netflix. Like I said, thank you to them for inviting us to watch the episodes early so we could bring it to you, because of course, this is the movie podcast. We have brand new episodes all throughout the week. We have incredible reviews, interviews, discussions on movies, whatever you like, we're here for you. You could follow us on all social media platforms at The Movie Podcast, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, wherever you are, we're there. Check out our show notes below for all of those links and more. We also have a great offer going on right now. If you want to get 50% off Factor Meals, check out our show notes below. Use that affiliate link. That helps out the show a lot, so go do that. And of course, join our Discord. If you're passionate about Avatar, we'll open up an Avatar room. We'll have a spoiler room in there that you could chat with all of our fellow community members. What we really want to do here at The Movie Podcast is build an incredible community of entertainment lovers. And our Discord is a big spot, you know, to meet some really cool people from all around the world. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe, leave a comment below. And again, stay tuned later on in this episode for our conversation with Albert Kim. Let's get things going right away. Anthony, I'd love for you to start us off. Give us your first reaction to the Netflix show, but I would also love for you, as a precursor, to give us your background with the Avatar series.
I have zero background with the Avatar series.
So there you go. Come for him in the comments.
Come at me.
You know, Anthony's there for
you. Throw all your bending at me. Honestly, I don't. I have no connection to this series. Haven't seen it. Don't know the characters. I'm completely blind to this fandom. So I know that there was a live action version of this story. M. Night Shyamalan directed Avatar, and it was very disappointing to a lot of fans. And up until this moment, I didn't know how much resistance there was still in regards to making another live action version of this story. And I learned that when I tweeted out my comments, and a lot of people were,
kill him, get him.
Yeah. And I don't get it. I guess I don't understand it, but I do understand it, and I don't understand it, because you always will have the animated version, which you will always love. You'll always be able to go back to. So creating a live action version is just another way of telling the story and opening it up to people. And I feel like a lot of people don't like that. And they're very safeguarding their beloved Aang.
Like gatekeeping, they're right? Gatekeeping
it's like it's a little bit of a fascist fandom. I like to call it that. But
you're inviting heat, man. You're inviting heat.
But this into is the an comments. Observation, man.
I love it though.
But here's the thing. This is all fandoms though, right? Yeah. This is an exclusive to Avatar fandom, or, you know, DC fandom, Marvel fandom, Star Wars. This is fandoms in general, that people are very protective and possessive. And I mean, we are all guilty of it in some regards, but, you know, when you're opening up the internet to these things, you're going to get a lot of comments on it.
With Star Wars, with certain Star Wars takes and how they treated certain characters, I was very much like that. Then I just, you know, I kind of got out of that mindset and I grew up and I'm like, I don't need to put that negativity. But going into the series, there is a bit of a hesitation. Will it be good? Will it do the animation justice? Will fans like it? And, you know, for me, is this a series that will get me excited for future seasons? Will it get me hooked? Will I want to watch this? I really enjoyed One Piece, which is another fandom animation anime story, even though this is a more of a North American anime. I really enjoyed that story. I really enjoyed the live action version of it. I'm excited to see what they do with it next. But will this be the same thing? And after watching all 8 episodes, I could say there's potential, but I really struggle to connect with the series. I think it comes down to story and performances. I found the series as a whole to be very unconvincing, childlike. It lacked maturity, and I couldn't connect with it. And that's something I really wish I did. I because I enjoy certain aspects of the story, but it's that performance and story as a whole where I was like, there needs to be a little bit more of a mature look into these characters, because they came off very 90s, you know, child shows. Like I kept thinking of Power Rangers when I kept watching. I'm like, Power Rangers, Power Rangers, Power Rangers, because it just felt like they had this massive budget
for sure,
but the script behind it didn't feel like it was in line with it. You know, you have these huge environments, you have these beautiful action sequences, visual effects are great for a TV series, and the acting and story just didn't work in line with it. There was no chemistry between the two, if that makes sense.
I mean, I'm curious for you. I know, like, I mean, for all of us, I mean, I don't really have a big history with this series. You know, Avatar The Last Airbender was something that I'd watch a couple episodes. I'd either see it at friends' houses or I'd watch it waiting for whatever my show was on YTV to start, right? Whatever it was. So you'd get little bits and pieces of that show. But I'm curious, when you say it is more immature, are you saying more in, like, in how they're acting, or is it more of the storyline that it's following? Because I'm assuming it, like, we're going off the story that was from the 2005 show, which is a Nickelodeon show as well, too.
Right.
But
it's a bit of both, Daniel.
Interesting.
Honestly, I found the characters to be very whiny, and I just felt that they were almost becoming caricatures of the animation, which right. might have worked as a children's show when you're creating the storyline, because animation, they have more of a different approach to how a character can act in an animation storyline, where when you're right. in live action and you seeing this person for real, when they are very whiny or stubborn or just like, I just wanted to go into the show and slap a lot of these kids, because it's just like, why are you acting the way you are? And I understand that, again, it is a children's show, but when you bring it into a live action environment like this, there needs to be some sort of, there's a well-roundedness of seriousness and fun and a bit of immaturity. But when a lot of the times I found myself saying, man, why is Aang acting that way? Or why is Zuko so whiny a lot of, like, I just kept thinking that. And as I went through these episodes, the cast got better and better. I think it was the episode 6 where I think it was Masks, where Zuko has his backstory with his father, and there was a struggle between who Zuko is, and I'm like, oh shit, this is what I want. This is the story I want from this world, because it became more serious. Again, you're opening this series to a lot more people, especially on Netflix. Not all kids are on Netflix. There's adults there. There's people who don't ever watch cartoons. They're going to all be involved in this series. So
yeah, they're going to find the series, right? They're going to find the series, and that's something that I, sorry to jump in, Anthony, because you're saying, and I think this is something that I was just kind of thinking about now. At the time when, you know, Avatar came out as an animated series on Nickelodeon, that was a lot more of a mature show at the time. It is mature for Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. You're getting like these season long,
like SpongeBob and all those.
Fairly Odd Parents, Danny Phantom, whatever, what else is on Nickelodeon at that time, right? Give that to Avatar, which was a lot more in depth. You're getting a lot more character development. And then you're taking what was already a more mature cartoon, mature for a kids network, putting it into the live action realm where things feel a lot more real and dangerous. And we see the stakes of the show more intense. So I totally get why the story isn't really matching up with the worlds that it's building, mm-hmm. right?
And like I said, episode 6 is where I really started to enjoy my viewing. And as I went through it, I'm like, okay, this is getting better. And that's where I started to see the potential. It's mm-hmm. those at the beginning episodes where I found it struggled a lot. They struggled a lot with the performances. And I think it's just, they just need to find their groove, because I'm sure this is going to get a second season. I'm sure they're going to tell more. These actors and actresses, they're going to grow and they're going to get better at what they do. But I just, this is my first reaction. This is how I felt watching it, even for someone who doesn't know the story. I do like the airbending. I like the world building. I like the Fire Nation and how they destroyed everyone and how it's the Avatar works and all that. Like, that all works for me. It's that performance and the intricate story that leads or connects these things together is where I found it lacked the strength.
Shabazz, how about yourself? Jump on in into the finally bended water. What is your first reaction to Avatar, The Last Airbender?
I think a lot of the points that you brought up, Anthony, are kind of spot on. I feel this show, it has room for improvement. So when you look at what season two could bring, it excites me a lot because, speaking with Albert as well, that that the entire team is aware of the criticisms that the show is getting. And it's kind of like, this is criticism from some people that also haven't seen the show because they're just reacting to the trailers that they've seen. For myself, you know, I'm not too familiar with the Avatar world and the lore. Kind of like Daniel, it would be like something that was on at the very end of a show that I'm watching or beginning of a show. And I'm kind of like, all right, let me just watch until my show is about to start. So I was always curious about it. Dabbled a little bit in the M. Night Shyamalan movie. And it wasn't for me. I'm sure there are fans of it out there, or maybe they're not. Who knows? And it didn't really win me over onto the franchise. But I was curious, you know, after watching One Piece, and we did a review for that, I really liked One Piece. I thought that was really cool. Another franchise that I'm not too familiar with, but let me go ahead and learn more about it. Avatar had a similar pull for me. I'm like, okay, you know, shot in Canada. A lot of the cast is also Canadian too. There's just a lot of good faith kind of going into this. And visually in those trailers, it kind of looked like what they were trying to achieve. It felt at least, again, as someone who isn't aware of the lore too much, it felt like they were trying to honor it as much as possible. Watching it, I'm kind of all over the place with it. Some of the effects didn't look that great to me. And it's not its fault because the show is so effects heavy. I can't think of a show that has been this effects heavy in a very, very long time. There's so much happening with it. So yeah, some scenes are not going to look great. You can't have a $200 million episode each episode. So that's just going to be way too much. So how they're probably balancing that budget, it's fine. And it just kind of threw me off at some points. But I was getting into what the show was trying to do, and I understood what the characters wanted to be. I do understand where you're coming from, Anthony, that a lot of these characters and actors, they don't really feel like they're completely into their role, a little whiny here and there, and maybe I'm not falling in love with them as the way that I should, but I'm excited to see where the feedback of the show comes in and where the adaptation can go from here, because we have more seasons of the show, of the animated. We have comic books. We have so much fan stuff that has come out about this show as well that you can really take it to a really interesting place, and you can go back to maybe honoring it in a much closer term than maybe the adaptation that you've gone to. But I guess it all is going to depend on how people actually react to this show when it comes out, because the noise that's out there, a lot of it is from people who haven't seen the show. So I'm really curious to see where it goes. But so far, I enjoy what I'm seeing. I'm not completely in love with it. I don't know if I'm going to watch a second season, but I'm excited for the prospect of a second season.
I'm right there with you, Shay. I think while watching this series, I was like, okay, you know what? Like, I'm approaching this, like Anthony mentioned at the beginning of this review, I'm approaching this like somebody who is finding the show on Netflix, may have no previous knowledge of that this was a Nickelodeon show back 20 years ago, and the series just celebrated its 19th anniversary, which is wild. So I'm going into this, and I'm familiar with some of the lore. So going into it, it's like, okay, like that looks interesting. I think the fire effects looks really good. Like, fire is one of those things I'm like, we've nailed fire now as visual effects. Like, we got it. It looks great. Whenever you see, you know, I think when we're starting to bend the air and we're flying around a little bit, I'm like, okay, here we go. These are some of the shots that may stick out to you. But again, there's some really huge sequences in the show that are really visually impressive, and that's what you want. I mean, you have a show that was very much inspired. Obviously, it's animated by inspired by Japanese animation, and telling these larger stories. To adapt that, very similar to One Piece, almost every shot, every character is a visual effect. So the fact that they were able to even pull this series together, I feel like season one for me was enough of a base hit for me to be like, okay, you know what? It's a little rocky. I think just like Anthony said, there's some characters that I'm like, you know what? Anytime it cuts over to you, I'm just like, okay, let's see what else is going on in the series. Who else can we kind of learn more about? But it's one of those things that I'm like, okay, you know what? Wherever we go from here, should we get future seasons, or if we're going to go to Legend of Korra or wherever we're going to go, because that was another big one. I'm curious to see where we'll go. Again, I'll probably try out season two, but it all depends where season two really goes, if it feels like it's an engaging story. I think the first episode of this series is going to be a litmus test for a lot of people who are new to the series and be like, okay, do I want to continue watching? Because it ends on enough of a, like, okay, these are the stakes that we're setting up. If this is enough for you to continue on, then continue on. But if you're not, you know, hooked after the first episode or really on board after the first episode, as somebody who was coming into this, who this wasn't really on my radar in terms of something I was looking forward to, it all kind of feels very similar after that for me. And I know that may be generalizing it. It just all kind of felt like, okay, we're going on here. We have to go here. We're getting this information. Now we have to go to over and do this. It's like, okay, I get it. But like, That's just kind of where I'm approaching it. Again, it's no shade to the show. I have so much respect for the original series, as I'm sure a lot of the people making the show did for this one. I didn't vibe as much with it as I wanted to, but again, I'm always curious to see where things could turn around. And I know we're in an era right now where if something doesn't hit immediately, they're canceled. And I don't think shows should be, canceled like a show is canceled. No,
because you think of Breaking Bad, you think of all these other, and I'm not saying this is going to be like of the Breaking Office. Bad level, but there's a potential.
But you see how 100%, and that's the thing, right? You look at Netflix knows Stranger Things is ending. We have a lot of IPs that we are now, you know, shepherding to new audiences, and we need to make sure that they hit for people, right? So this season for me was at least enough of a base hit visually, from the characters to the story, that I'm like, okay, you know what? There's enough of a foundation here to try and build from here. Where it goes, that's entirely up to the team that's going to take it on from here. I'm curious. That's kind of where I'm at right now. Any other thoughts from the team?
I want to say, in terms of performances, I think the strongest two performances is Daniel Dae Kim as Ozai and Paul Sun Young Lee, if I pronounced that properly, as Uncle
Appa, man.
Always. Appa.
They're just very good at what they do. And when you see them on screen and their presence is on screen, especially with Daniel Dae Kim, because he's this father who runs the Fire Nation, who is very strict with his family, almost to the point where I don't know his motives, because he feels like he's pitting them, his family, the daughter and the sons, against each other. But I also feel like he loves them. I don't know. It's like this abusive relationship, toxic, very toxic. And then there's the uncle who's played by Paul, who's just so warm and cuddly. And he is, you know, Zuko's, you know, his conscience. He's the one who's trying to lead him to be a great leader for this nation. But Zuko is so, you know, stubborn, like his father, who, you know, he wants to find this avatar, bring him to his dad so he can take his rightful place. But I do believe that those two performances are the strongest. And we'll see what, you know, what the future seasons bring and who comes and who goes. But I do think Aang has the potential to be a really great character for Netflix to continue with. And I just hope that the fans at least understand this is a base hit. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's number one. This is not Dune 2. This is not Dune 1. This is just a Netflix series that has the potential to grow.
Speaking of growing, everyone has some incredible facial hair in the show. I will say that the facial hair and the makeup and hair department on this show, unless that was genetics by everybody, oh my God, incredible beards. Because you were just talking about Uncle, and I was just like, man, great beard. It looks just pristine.
I thought you were talking about us for a second. I'm like, yeah, we all do.
Yeah, like, I thought I'm like, great, such a too. Random thing to say in the middle of this.
It was a review. Very random thing. Yeah, I'll be honest. Yeah. And I thought,
but it was related to the show, though. It was related to the show.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
But yes, that's our thoughts on Avatar: The Last Airbender. Again, it is out now on Netflix. Thank you so much to them for sharing the episodes with us to watch. Stay tuned, because coming up next, we have our interview with showrunner, executive producer, and writer Albert Kim. Hi, Albert. I'm Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
And I'm Shabazz.
Hi, Shabazz. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, we're doing great. We're so excited to talk with you today. I think what never ceases to amaze us is that we're having all of these shows that we grew up with being so popular, now seeing these live action versions, and they look like the shows that we remember them looking. Yeah. It's incredible to be part of something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before, but first and foremost, I was a fan of the original as well. So even before, you know, my writer brain or producer brain kicks in, I came at the whole project as like, wow, it's Avatar, you know? And so I kind of share that same feeling with you, you know? And I know I created the show and worked on it, but like, I also want to sit back and watch it as a fan too. And I'm really excited too.
Yeah, of course. Now, I know you posted, I think a couple days ago, or may have been yesterday, the billboard on Sunset Boulevard. So yeah. what was going through your mind seeing that as you were driving down there?
Oh, I was blown away. I a little embarrassed to admit it, but like, I pulled over in the sunset, I got out of my car, I took the pictures. I was like, wow, it's incredible to see. I knew it was coming because I'd obviously talked to the marketing team about it and everything, and they'd sent me a map of where they all are. But seeing it there in larger than life, literally larger than life, was just amazing. And it blew me away. So I stopped. I took pictures. I tried to get close. The second and third one were actually hard to reach. So I just stayed back. And
you got to go to all of them now on the map.
I think they're up in Times Square in New York. I haven't seen pictures of those yet. We've also got a Appa Fuzzy bus running around town.
It's amazing.
Fuzzy, which I know is out there. I have yet to see it in the wild. Or pictures of it. I'm dying to see it.
That's amazing. That's really, really cool. And how many times have you driven by it again now to keep taking pictures?
I went by once at night and once during the day. I actually don't live very close there, so it's a little bit of a haul for me, but it was worth it to go see it in real life.
No, for sure. That makes total sense. But, and you talked about, you know, how the fan base of the show is so amazing. They're so passionate. It's a massive show. What was your mindset really kind of coming into the series?
I mean, as you probably know, it's a double-edged sword. You know, the expectations are so high. I've talked about this before, but when I first started the project, my daughter, who got me into the show in the first place, and it was her favorite show, was super excited. My son, who was a little older, was very wary because he knew what, and he's deep into the fan culture for a lot of different things. And he knew like it can be a very, you know, rough environment at times. But at the same time, you know, it's a gift to be able to have so many people so passionate and so invested in the story that you're working on. I gotta say, you know, in the end, I'd rather have that than be ignored, you know? So I'd rather,
of course,
be involved in something that everyone is super excited for and wants to be part of rather than the opposite. So, and so I'm fully aware that there are high expectations for the show, because like I said, first and foremost, I'm a fan and I have those same expectations.
Definitely. Absolutely. And I think that's such a great way to approach it, because, you know, the show is coming up on 20 years, which is
wild. Yeah, yesterday was the 19th anniversary of the premiere. Yeah,
absolutely wild to think that, you know, this has been part of so many people's lives for so long. How are you approaching it to, you know, stay true, obviously, to what came before, but also updating it for an audience in 2024?
Well, the great thing about the original is that it's so timeless, especially thematically. You know, all the themes in the original series, whether it's about the nature of personal responsibility or bringing hope to a world that desperately needs it, those are all so relevant today. Like, I remember being in the writer's room and we would all sit around talking about these things, and we would come up with real world examples of today's world. It's like, wow, this is amazing. Like, the responsibility one generation has to the other, and like how people view conflict. And it was all amazingly true now as it was then. So it wasn't like a lot needed to be updated in that sense. You know, it was more about making that translation from animation to live action, as well as, grounding the characters a little bit, since you wanted them to give them a little more room to breathe and live in the emotions of the moment, because the animated series was great, but like, it moved very fast. And sometimes, you know, didn't have the opportunity to spend a lot of time and let the characters live in those moments. And that's one of the things we tried to do.
Yeah. And I think you see that because you're given, you know, the benefit of time here to really focus on character stories. And you're also, you know, translating a lot of or everything from the animated world into a live action world and seeing how even one-to-one it could get sometimes, or just visually, it's so cool that we're in a place like we were saying at the top of the of our discussion, is that we can recreate this now and make it look like this.
We can recreate it, and I think one of the reasons we were able to do this is, you know, our technology, especially in VFX, has gotten to the point where you can do some of the things that they did in the original series. That's one of the biggest challenges we had, is like some of the action and set pieces in the original series were just so epic that it was a challenge logistically and financially for us to be able to do it. And there are certain things that among my biggest regrets are leaving out incredible sequences from the original that I loved. Fans will know what those are immediately once they start watching the show. And all I can say is, like, I agree with you. I wish we could have done that incredible epic scene. You know, we just had to pick and choose where we spent our resources. You know, I don't think this is a huge spoiler, but like in the episode in the first season of Northern Air Temple, it's almost a finale in itself. You know, that battle scene is incredible. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't do it. You know, there's no way we could do in the live action two finales, essentially.
But what's great with it, though, too, is that this also isn't, with a lot of the times when we see with adaptations of, you know, beloved stories, be it games or shows or animated films, it's also not replacing what has come before, right? It's an expansion. It's an
adaptation, right?
Exactly. So this is something that you could watch along with the original series and have both versions coexist.
Yeah, I've said this a lot. It's like we weren't doing a note for note translation of the original. We wanted to stay true to the spirit of the original, but that meant creating our own story. So it should live side by side with the original. It's not meant to replace it. It's not meant to supplant it in any way. We would never try to do that. It's meant to be, let's say, an extension or cousin of it. I don't know how you want to put it, but it exists together. They both should be able to, you should be able to enjoy one as well as enjoy the other, and have them exist as their own entity.
Definitely.
And so absolutely, that's kind of our approach to it as well.
We love the fact that you're such a huge fan of the series. So there's the right people that are involved with this show. And you're also seeing that there's also so much source material to pull from. You can go over to the show and even to the comics that kind of came after. So where do you kind of see the series evolving? Do you feel like the tone is going to get darker with it as the comics do or the show does? Or do you kind of feel like you're going to start doing your own thing still?
Well, first off, yeah, I agree with you. It's since in the time since the original show, there's been this wealth of material, whether it's the comics or the novelizations or Quora or all of this stuff. And we drew upon all of it. We looked at all of it and I loved all of it. They're all really good. And you know, diehard fans will be able to pick out those elements that we borrowed from some of those other sources. We were cognizant of the entire universe that has been built up since then. In terms of where it goes, I mean, you know, we have the benefit of hindsight in knowing where the original series goes. So there is a roadmap in place. That's not to say, again, like we did in the first season, it's going to be exactly a one-to-one adaptation of that. But logistically and practically speaking, I haven't given much thought to it at all, because all I wanted to do is get this first season across the finish. And so like tomorrow has been circled on my calendar for 4 years now. You know, theoretically speaking, there is this wealth of material there and something of a roadmap to use going forward.
Love that. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Now, we have to ask you, we couldn't speak to you and not ask, you know, which of the arts would you want to be a master of course, and having all of them, we can't accept. We have to choose one of the four.
Yes.
I always cheat and say I'd be the Avatar, but I guess that's it. I think that since all the bending disciplines kind of are meant to reflect the character's personalities in a way, I probably am closest to an airbender, a little bit more fluid, hopefully, you know, going with the flow a little bit, and a little more zen about things. I would hope that that's the case. But like at the same time, there are times when I can definitely feel the firebender rising up.
Leading up to those days.
That happened. There are certain days when the airbender is nowhere to be found in my personality.
Well, we're definitely getting airbender vibes from you right now.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad. So I probably would be more of an airbender than the others.
That's fantastic.
That's amazing. What a amazing cast you have, and an awesome like crew that's involved with this as well. There must be no shortage of amazing days on set. So curious for you, what would you say were your favorite days to be on set?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think day one, just the first day of shooting and like realizing it's all coming together. And actually, day one, the first thing we shot was Sokka and Katara finding the iceberg. That was the first.
Oh, wow.
And so like seeing Ian and Gail and Dio come out in their costumes, fully in character, getting into their kayak and then, you know, coming up to our iceberg set, that was pretty amazing. I mean, like it was something of a dream. And that sequence, that scene is actually a great one to do as first because it's full of awe and wonder and mystery and like all of that we were able to do in the moment. So it's kind of hard to top that, but we had a lot of great days on set. I mean, like there are certain, it was a great day when we had James C., the cabbage merchant on set, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone sure. was really into him. We had another great day. I don't know if I should spoil it, but like there's a certain thing, there's a certain other fan favorite characters that show up and let's just say everyone started singing. So that was a lot of fun as well. The day we shot the Agni Kai, Roseanne Liang, who directed that episode, insisted that we give it its proper due. So we spent an entire day just shooting that scene.
Amazing.
And, we had Daniel Dae Kim in Dallas for the whole day. And that was incredible, too. So, yeah, there's a lot of highlights for me during the whole process.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
A lot of for fans to look forward to.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Albert, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. You know, we can't wait. We're excited for you to finally cross off that date tomorrow on your calendar. So we're really looking forward to it. We're looking forward to everybody watching this show and just sharing the love of Avatar with you and everybody else that you know. So thank you so much for your time today. And we hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Of course. Take care.